Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Science fiction coming up in this hour from two famous NBC programs. Later on, we hear X-1, but right now, a program at the forefront of the science fiction genre, it's Dimension X. Up until this point, sci-fi stories on air were usually relegated to kids' shows like Buck Rogers in the 25th Century and the one-off Theodore Sturgeon or Robert Heinlein's story on escape or suspense. But Dimension X started what would become an institution of sci-fi radio on NBC. This next episode marks number 7 for the series of about 50 shows from May 20th, 1950 on NBC. The story is The Lost Race.
Adventures in time and space, told in future tense.
Dimension X, X, X.
When man first crossed the vast distances of outer space to land on strange worlds, he found that someone had been there before him. The ruined canals of Mars, the smashed cities of Titan and Centaurus 2 and 3, all these were evidence that 100,000 years ago, a race of intelligent beings built their cities across the galaxy. They knew space travel, atomic power, astrophysics and engineering. And then they destroyed themselves completely, so that of all the cities on 1,000 worlds, only dust and rubble remained. Why? Why did these beings obliterate all record of themselves? That is the mystery of the lost race. The freighter Carilla, bound out of Earth for Cetus Alpha 2, came into normal flight after 103 days in overdrive. The stars were unfamiliar. The constellations known on Earth had disappeared. But there was a yellow sun off to port, and about it revolved three planets.
What do you make of it, Briggs?
It isn't on any of the star charts, Captain Wharton. I checked through.
1 and 3 are dead, all right. I have to take a closer look at number 2. Turn up the vision scale. Polar ice caps. She's green around the belt. Let's take her down to a 5-mile orbit. Swing around her for a look. Alert for deceleration.
Aye, sir.
Throw in the manuals. Power room.
Power room, aye.
We're going down to have a look at something. Give us just enough power to keep her under control. All right, Briggs. Hang on to your stomach.
You sent for me, Captain Wharton?
Come in, Mr. Howell.
Do you mind if I sit down?
Free fall sickness?
Well, I'm afraid I'm not an old space hand. Oh.
We'll level out in a minute.
Do you want something?
Yes. We come out of overdrive, smack in the middle of a new planetary system. Briggs says it's unreported.
Well, that's rather good news, isn't it?
Depends. Chris reports pretty common. But we'll stake a claim on her. In case there are any mineral discoveries.
Well, I meant the possibility of archaeological finds.
I'm afraid I'll leave that to you, Mr. Howell. You're the expert.
Coming up 5, Captain.
Level off. Hang on, Howell. Power room. Hold her steady, she goes. We'll orbit at slow cruising speed. All right. Clear the scope, Briggs.
Aye, sir.
Nice looking piece of real estate. Well, the Space Guard requires I check up for radioactives, gold, and lost race runes.
You're landing?
Landing. I've got a schedule to keep, Mr. Howell. I can't sit down on every lump of dirt I run into. We'll do a spectroscope check, and I figured you'd spot any ruins.
All right. Wait a minute.
Hmm?
There in the lower quadrant.
What?
That bald spot in the vegetation. Those are ruins, all right.
Are you sure, Howell?
Yes. I've seen the lost race rubble on Centaurus 2. There. You can see it plainly, dust and rubble.
Oh, that's what I get for calling in an expert. Briggs, stand by to take it down to 5,000 feet.
Aye, sir.
All this stinking luck. There goes my schedule. Seen enough, Howell? This is going to set me back 5 hours.
Interesting. Wait a minute.
What's wrong?
believe it. Marvelous. Incredible.
Stop sputtering, Hal. What is it?
Look over that rise in the ground. It's a section of the city still standing.
Hey, you're right.
That hill must have shielded it from the blast. Captain, you've got to land.
Land?
You've got to. This is the first Lost Race site that's ever been spotted. Of course you'll land.
Howell, we get a $1,000 bonus for every day under par for the run.
But you don't understand. It's the biggest find in the century.
We can chart it, and you'll have to get back somehow. But that's all. I'm not sitting down to rake over old dust heaps.
Captain Wharton, I'm on commission to the Space Guard. You may have to answer to them.
I'll think up one. Look, Howell, strictly speaking, you're a passenger.
Well, you've got
you
to land.
You don't belong on the bridge. I'm not landing down there. I'm not...
Freaks! Emergency from the power room. Something must have blown.
Power room. Power room. Danton, what's wrong down there? Danton!
He doesn't answer.
Anything serious, Captain?
Reaches the fuel locker. That 5 pounds of ascending will go and kick us right out of space. Danton! Danton!
Power room, aye.
What happened? What blew?
Main tube coupling. She's secured.
What's
now
the damage?
The main tube's burnt out. The bearing, the coupling, the injector valve, and the needle gauge.
Can you make repairs?
Not in flight.
Can you raise enough power to land?
I don't know, Captain. The wiring's shot. Fat like a tomcat. I might be able to get something from the deceleration auxiliaries.
Get a jury rig on her. We'll try to set her down.
Aye, sir.
Briggs.
Yes, sir.
Alert for crash landing. Signal room. Signal room.
Signal, aye.
Langston, get off a position fix and SOS standby.
Aye, sir.
Well, Mr. Howell, I guess you're going to join your friends in the lost race. I just hope it's not permanently.
Level off now, Captain.
Trim her up a point. That's it.
She's bucking bad.
5 more minutes and the hull plates will shake loose. Power room. Stand by for bow blast on signal.
All ready.
I'm going to try for that clearing.
Too narrow.
2 to 1 for a dollar. All right. Hang on. Briggs! Briggs!
Oh,
you all right?
I hit my head on the panel.
Well, I seem to be ill. All assembled.
Well, we're down. Guess our luck hasn't run out yet. Calling power room.
Power room, aye.
All right down there?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Danton, I want a complete damage check and repair estimate. Get up here as soon as you got it for me. Briggs, you all right now?
Yes, sir, I guess so.
As soon as we get Dan's report, get a detail aft. Help him with the repairs.
Captain Wharton.
What is it, Langston?
My speaker line's out. The sending circuit's blue.
Spare tubes?
That was a pretty rough landing, Captain. They're gone. I can't replace them this side of Lunar Space Station.
I see. Well, the SOS ought to do it. And the Space Guard monitor reports our position.
They aren't going to, Captain.
Why not?
Sending circuits went out when the blast went off down there. I didn't get the SOS out.
Thank you, Langston. Get back and see what you can salvage.
Does that mean bad news?
We were in overdrive, Mr. Howell. It would take 40 years to search the distance we've traveled in one day. Consequently, when a ship doesn't make port and doesn't transmit a position fix, they forget about it.
Oh. I see.
And with the radio out, we blast off on our own power. Or we don't get off.
Got your damage report, Captain.
Well?
Here, on a B-23 checklist.
Not bad?
Worse.
Danton, how long will it take you for repairs?
I don't know.
An estimate.
I know gypsy fortune teller.
How about the lifeboat?
For deep space? What are they teaching at Sands Point now? Basket weaving?
Danton,
lifeboat couldn't lift half a light year off this here mud heap.
Danton, I'll take just so much... Can it be converted to bisendium drive?
Converter links were mashed when we came down.
How long is it going to take you to repair the main drive?
Look, Captain, I got 2 hands. You want me to hold a lug wrench in my teeth?
See here, Danton.
You say here, Captain. The whole lousy crew's been spitting all over me ever since we blasted off. Now you can all wait on me.
Who do you think you are, Danton?
The only power man on this ship, that's who. Ain't satisfied with the way I'm working, go hire yourself another boy. The woods are lousy with him. Take my own sweet time.
What's the matter with him? Got a bug in his ear?
Space fatigue, Captain. He's been locked up in the power room 4 days.
Oh, we don't have enough trouble. Briggs, remind me to slug the psychotechnician when we get back. Don't tell me nobody gets into deep space who isn't emotionally stable.
What are you going to do about him, Captain?
Nothing. Stay off his back.
Oh, but you can't.
Captain's the only man who can get us out of here. If we want to hit the cradle at New York spaceport again, we've got to keep him happy.
Captain Wharton, as long as we're landed and we do have to wait for the engines to be fixed, I suppose we can explore the lost race ruins. I'm particularly...
Look, Mr. Howell, I can't spare the men. We are now stuck tight until Danton gets those engines fixed. And if he can't, which is entirely possible, we are stuck, period.
Oh. Oh.
Briggs, I want you to keep a careful eye on the men. Space fatigue is nothing compared to what we might run up against now.
Captain Wharton. Captain, I've got it.
Is there any circuits?
No, sir, but I picked up the incoming video band.
Well, that's something. Can you get the mail call through? A man could use a little lift right now.
Well, the scheduled one-way personals are due at 2330 Greenwich.
Good. That ought to help morale. Langston, rig the receiving booth.
Aye, sir.
Howell, this is a break. Seeing the folks at home may be enough to keep everybody on an even keel. I know I'll be glad to see that kid of mine.
Mr. Langston, get Hanson out of the booth. You wear the glass right off the tooth.
Ah, take it easy, Williams. Everybody gets 3 minutes.
Hey, Kelly, I bet that dame of yours burned up the circuits, huh?
How'd you know it was his girl? You can't tell through the booth.
Well, who else would call that eight? What'd you say, Kelly?
Oh, nothing. She don't have to. She just stands in front of the pickup tube and, oh, brother.
I can just see that.
Hey, it's a boy.
A boy.
Alice had a boy. What? They're going to show him to me in the circuit tomorrow.
Congratulations, Mom.
Who's next, Mr. Langston?
The last call's coming through now on ticker. It's for Williams.
Well, wait a minute, Williams.
Well, let go of my arm.
What happened to my call?
No call today, Dan.
You're a liar, Langston.
Hey.
My girl calls in every scheduled circuit. That must be mine.
Now let go, Dad. Maybe Janie was busy waiting tables in the lunchroom.
What do you know about her, Hanson?
You kidding? She's a swell kid. Everybody at New York Spaceport knows her.
Yeah, I've seen you hanging around Jane, too.
Now, wait a minute, Danton.
Take it easy, Danton.
You and Williams made this up between you, didn't you? You're going to take my call, huh, Williams?
You're space happy.
You used to hang around with her before I cut you out.
Now, listen, Danton, you were lucky enough to get her. Let well enough alone.
You bet I got her, all right, and you're not going to steal her back. Williams, I'm going to...
Are you crazy, Danton? Get him off!
Don't lie him.
Get him off!
Hey, what's going on in here?
Let him fight!
Kill you, you...
Grab him, Hanson. Get his arm. Nobody took your call. Calm down, Danton.
Look out. He's got a wrench. Danton!
He's nuts. Nobody gets a call. Nobody. How do you like that, Williams? You ain't gonna hear from Janie no more. How do you like that?
After him. Kelly! Hanson! The airlock. He's left the ship.
Let him go, the jealous screwball.
Sure. But that's the only man who can get us off of here.
I warned you, so help me, Briggs. I warned you to keep an eye on Danton.
Well, I didn't think he'd go off this way.
Well, it's that girl of his, sir. He's crazy jealous about her.
Any reason for it, Williams?
No, sir. She's a good kid. Too good for Danton. I guess he's just so afraid of losing her to some other guy, he's getting psychopathic about it.
Well, we've got to get him back. I want every man equipped and ready for search parties immediately.
Aye, sir.
Williams, rig some portable searchlights and issue hand blasters and radiation tickers. Kelly.
Aye, sir.
You head the second party. If you find Danton, send up a signal flare.
Aye, sir.
Unless we do find him, we'll be on this planet until the next freighter stumbles on us. Maybe 10,000 years from now. Light up, Hanson.
This is amazing, Captain. Lost Ray's building's actually standing.
Hey!
What is it?
Oh, it's nothing. It's shadow.
This place gives me the willies. To be able to find out so much about them, their science, art, what they looked like, perhaps even why they destroyed themselves.
I'm beginning to wonder about that, Howell. You sure they destroyed themselves? Maybe they lost a war to another race.
Winners would have left traces. Genghis Khan, the Mongol emperor, left a pile of skulls as a monument.
after he destroyed his enemies, but there's been nothing like that found.
No clues at all,
nothing. When they decided to wipe themselves out, they did a thorough job. But why? That's what we've been asking for 50 years. They wanted to end like that.
Captain, there's a rise ahead.
Keep going. Anything on your side, Briggs?
No, sir.
Hanson, what is it?
I don't know, sir. It's a funny kind of a glow. I guess I shot without thinking.
Don't get trigger happy. Howell.
Yes?
Where do you think the light is coming from?
Down there. It's an amphitheater.
Stone seats and a hood.
It looks like a band shell.
What's up, Captain?
Wait a minute. Well, Howell?
No. That's the Lost Race sign on the hood.
A what?
A sort of hieroglyphic. The only thing we'd ever found before. One in each ruin.
What does it mean?
Some kind of a warning, I think.
Come on. We're going down there. Careful now. There's a platform of some kind down there.
Looks like a lecture platform, doesn't it?
Or an altar. This might have been a temple. Perhaps the Lost Race sign had a religious significance.
Looks like a throne to me.
A throne 5 feet high.
Briggs, climb up there. See if there are any controls for this machinery.
Aye, sir.
This wasn't meant for any man to sit on. There's a lever up here. Shall I try it?
Sure, go ahead.
Hey, what the... What's that mist? Like a steam bath. I wonder if Kelly and Williams ran into anything
Kelly,
like...
Hold that light up.
Shut up and keep looking for Danton.
What? Look there. In the hood.
It's Williams and Kelly.
That crazy jet jockey. When I find him, I'm going to beat his brains out.
You could see him. A three-dimensional image.
Some kind of television. Get down, Briggs.
Aye, sir. Did you see it, Skipper? I was just thinking about him, and there he was.
And we all saw it. Out of the way. I'm going to try it. This thing can pick up Earth. It'll replace the receiver Danton smashed. Just throw the lever, eh?
What? That's my son. I'll be darned. His music lesson. Say, it reaches Earth, all right. What? Imagine. Television without a transmitter. Looks like the Lost Race was ahead of us in more ways than one.
Go up and try it, Howell.
It's amazing, amazing. Television without a transmitter. This machine may be the clue to the mystery of the Lost Race. I'll try it.
Mary, I've told you I like my paper first in the morning. What? If that youngster wants to know how the Tigers did, let him wait until I am...
My father in Detroit. Remarkable, Captain. You can see the whole room clearly.
Say, how about me, Captain? Let me get up there. I'd like to see my baby. Alice told me all about it. Out!
What's the matter, Hanson?
I kicked something, a wrench.
Well, hold it up. What? It's Danton's. That means he's been here. We're on his trail, all right. Come on, Howell, let's go.
Oh, but the baby, it wouldn't take a minute, Captain.
Later, Hanson. We've got to find Danton first. All right, now, let's get moving. Hold it.
What's that?
The recall flare. Kelly and his men have found Danton. Oh, I hope that crazy fool is in one piece.
We start back now, Captain?
Yes.
That came from the ship.
Another flare?
No, that was an explosion. That's all we need now. Something more to happen to the ship. Oh, it's the main jets.
Smashed flat.
Of all the stinking rotten. Check through the ship for further damage.
Aye, sir.
Oh, look at those plates. Crumpled like an accordion.
Captain! Oh, Captain!
Here comes Kelly's party.
We got him. Got Danton. Hold it. What happened here?
Somebody blew up the main jets. Danton, do you know anything about this?
No, sir.
Not much, he doesn't. He's crazy enough to blow us all up.
Listen, Hanson, I admit I went off my head tonight, but I'm not crazy enough to commit suicide. The jets of Smash were all marooned up the same creek.
I still think he's got something to do with it.
Lay off, Hanson. We found him wandering up in the hills. And he was with us when the blast went off.
Yes, that's right. We saw your recall flare before the explosions. Oh, I guess that puts Danton on the clear.
Well, then who did it, Captain?
I don't know, Howell. Looks like somebody didn't want us to leave this planet. Well, we still got one slim chance left. If we can repair the lifeboat...
Skipper? It's gone.
Gone?
The escape port is open. The boat's missing.
Huh? Oh. What else?
The arms chest was cleaned out, sir, and the fuel locker was jimmied open. The descendium bars are gone.
You sure?
You look for yourself, sir. She's clean.
I see. There's only one answer left. There's something or somebody out in those ruins trying to get us. Maybe that lost race decided they weren't going to stay lost.
You think some of them may still be alive?
Who else could have blown up our ship? Keep your blaster up, Hal. And be careful. It's a hair trigger.
What are we doing back at the television machine, Captain? I thought we were looking for the lifeboat.
We are. Whoever blew up the ship must be around here. Might as well try to use the machine to track them down.
Yeah. Catch them with their own gadget, huh?
That's right. All right, Hal, you're the expert. Get up there and try to find them.
I hope it works.
Well?
Trying, Captain.
Nothing but mist.
I don't understand it. It reached all the way to Earth before I saw my father in Detroit.
Mary, my papers all rumpled again.
What?
There it is again. Father in Detroit.
I've told him time and time again, I don't like a messy paper.
Look at that. No selector control, yet all the way to Earth. You can see the whole room, the goldfish bowl, the antimacassars on the chairs. Yet we can't pick up something less than a mile away.
Knock it off, Hal. We're wasting time. Come on. That gadget won't work. We'll have to comb these rooms inch by inch.
I don't understand.
Neither do I. Cut behind the hood here and go on. Briggs, you take the lead with the radiation ticker. We might be able to pick up a reading on where the rocket fuel is hidden.
Aye, sir.
All right, let's go.
I can't understand why that machine can pick up Earth and not...
Help, Captain!
Briggs, what is it?
Captain, help! I'm falling!
It's a cave-in. Hang on, Briggs.
I'm slipping, Captain.
Grab his wrist.
All right.
Now pull. Pull.
Higher. Higher.
What happened?
I was just walking along and the ground caved in.
What? It's some kind of shaft. Hold your light over it, Captain. Oh!
50 feet deep in a stone bottom. I could have split my head open like a grapefruit.
Something down there. Hold that light steady. Amazing. Amazing.
Looks like a pile of bones to me. Two piles.
Maybe the first skeletal remains ever found of the lost race. I've got to get down in there.
We haven't got time, Howell. Come on.
Let me have your binoculars. Wonderful. That small skeleton must be an infant. They've been laid out carefully at the burial chamber. The way they're lying, it's probably a mother and infant. Yeah. The tail, she's definitely anthropoid.
Howell, you mean apes?
Something like that. Yet they had atomic power and built cities across the galaxy. Amazing.
Oh, we haven't got time.
Hello, that's funny. The little one is different. The caudal bones are different. No tail.
Listen, Hal. What do I care whether they had tails or not? Come on,
it's
now.
It's almost as if... Well, they did have atomics, and radiation does funny things to heredity. They had that problem of mutations in Detroit. What? Detroit. That must be it.
What?
The new atomics plant at Detroit. They tore down my father's house to make room for it. Quickly, Captain.
Oh, where are you going?
Back to the machine. I've got a theory that may solve the whole mystery of what happened to the lost race.
I don't care what happened to the dead ones, Hal. I want to find the living ones who wrecked my ship.
I think this machine may give us both answers. There's the house, Detroit, down to the last detail.
Oh, come on, Don. We know all
but
that.
But don't you understand? That house was torn down. I got a letter before we lifted off Earth. It's gone.
But it's on the television machine.
Captain, that machine isn't television. It's a thought projector.
What?
It only mirrors what's in your own mind.
But, Mr. Howell, we saw Earth. It was really there.
But it was just because we imagined it, Briggs. It's a thought projection. I can produce any mental image that occurs to me on this machine. New York, spaceport, a space guard patrol, anything.
Anything?
Yes. And now I think I know what inspired the lost race to do what they did. It was fear. Fear of what was in their own minds. They could all see it with machines like this.
But fear? Fear of what?
They foresaw the future. So they destroyed themselves. Every last one of them.
Hold it, Howe. Are you sure they're all dead?
100,000 years ago.
Then who blew up the ship and stole our lifeboat?
Danton.
Danton?
But why?
He was pathologically jealous.
Yes, but blowing up the ship was like committing suicide. He wasn't crazy enough to do that.
The Lost Race was, after they looked at this machine.
You mean Danton did too?
We found his wrench here.
You're right.
He must have looked at the machine and thought it was television. He must have seen all his fears about losing his girl confirmed. That was enough to make him completely unbalanced.
But he was with Kelly when that explosion went off. He's got an ironclad alibi.
No, he hasn't. It wouldn't take a power man long to sneak back to the ship and rig a delayed action fuse. Howell, we've got to get back to the ship before Danton.
Never mind, Captain. Stay right there.
That's Danton.
It's in the dark. You make a perfect target there. Stop your gun. I got a blaster set at wide angle.
Drop him. He's got us cold.
I've been following you, Wharton. I wanted to tell you, I'm going back to Earth. I got the lifeboat hidden over that rise.
It won't work in deep space.
You believed me when I told you that, didn't you? Well, I've got it fixed. And with that bisendium fuel, it'll be a milk run. I'll reach the Space Guard station at Volta with a long, sad story about how the rest of you exploded in mid-space.
Danton, that's murder.
Yeah, yeah, that's just what it is. And easy, too.
Danton, you can't just leave us here.
Watch me. Sit in front of that machine and watch me. Yeah, I know what it is. I know it's a television without a transmitter. And I did some checking up. I've seen how you were stealing my calls. Trying to steal my girl.
Danton, you're sick. You
pretty
can't...
Pretty smart, that Lost Race. They built some machine, and it showed me plenty. It showed me enough to kill you.
Oh, you've got it all wrong. This isn't a television machine.
What are you trying to pull, Wharton? I saw it.
Those were your own thoughts, Danton. Those things you saw exist only in your mind.
Shut up before I blast all of you down. You're just trying to lie out of it, that's all. But I know the truth when I see it. And you're going to die.
All right, Danton, but you're not going to get away with it. Look at the machine.
What's that?
The machine. It's the Space Guard patrol, Danton. Look, they're coming.
X-3 to command. Spotted the Corellias reported. Preparing to land.
That's the Space Guard, Danton.
Yeah, whole patrol.
You're lying, you're lying. They couldn't come. There wasn't any SOS.
X-3 to command. Preparing to land. There's a clearing.
That's enough, Howell. All right, Danton. They'll be coming over the horizon. Drop your gun and give yourself up.
No, they're not going to catch me. I'll be away in that lifeboat before they land. Stay still, all of you. Stay where you are.
Danton.
I still got you covered.
Danton, look out behind you.
Burial shaft. He fell in it. Hold the light down, Briggs. Well?
He's dead. Deader than the Lost Race. And what about those Space Guard cruisers?
Out of my head. I just imagined them. And there they were on the machine. Would Danton believe they were real?
I wish they were real so we could get off this planet.
No, it doesn't matter. We know where the lifeboat is now. We can send one man to bring back help. And it won't be Danton.
The machine got him the same way it got the Lost Race. Through fear.
But what was the Lost Race afraid of, Howell?
Changing.
Changing?
Look at those skeletons down there. They had atomic energy, but they couldn't control it. Look, the baby's different from the other. The race was changing by mutation.
Mutation?
Look at those skeletons. Now imagine a shifted hip socket so they could walk upright. The baby was already without a tail.
But Howell, that would mean they were changing into...
Yes, Captain. The Lost Race committed suicide rather than face the fear of seeing their descendants become such horrible creatures as men.
You have just heard another adventure into the unknown world of the future. The world of... Dimension X.
And now, about next week. William Travis and his wife thought they had escaped, but they were wrong. They were being searched out by men from another world. Men who wanted them to return. Where? I'll tell you. Next week.
Tonight's drama was based on the Murray Leinster story, The Lost, and was adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in the cast were Matt Crowley as Captain Wharton, Roger DeCoven as Howell and Joseph Julian as Danton. Your host was Norman Rose. Tomorrow, it's Sam Spade. Now hear Truth or Consequences on NBC.
Dimension X on Tuned to Yesterday from May 20th, 1950 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now one of several stories Robert Sheckley contributed to X-1, we hear his tale, Something for Nothing, starring Joseph Julian, Don Ocko, and John Gibson, who at one time on air played the Shadow. This from April 10th, 1957 on NBC.
Countdown for blast off. X-5, 4, 3, 2, X-1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X-1.
Tonight, Something for Nothing by Robert Sheckley.
I woke up when I thought I heard a voice. But I must have been mistaken because there was no one in my room. There was the same network of cracks and the muddy yellow ceiling and the same water dripping slowly and mournfully through from the roof. I'd seen it 100 times before, the worst room in a cheap hotel. But then, when I swung my feet onto the floor, I saw it. It was a machine on the floor. It hadn't been there when I went to sleep the night before. It was about 3 feet square, and it was humming softly. The crackled gray surface was featureless, except for a red button in one corner and a brass plate in the center. I leaned in closer and read the marking. Class A utilizer, series AA1256432. Warning, this machine should be used only by Class A ratings. Hey, where did you come from? A utilizer, huh? What do you utilize? No switches, no knobs, just one red button. Okay, we'll give it a try. Here goes the button. All right, what happens now? Little green men drop from the ceiling? Okay, we'll push it again. Come on, do something. Guess I'll have to pawn it. Unless Charlie will give me a dollar for the metal for junk. Boy, it's heavy. Can't even get the corner off the floor. They should have sent me somebody to help.
Where do you want it, Mac?
Hey! Where did you come from?
Come on, come on. We haven't got all day. Where do you want it? Lucky it's one of the small ones. The big model's up roots to get a grip on.
Who are you?
Moving man. What do I look like? Queen of the May?
But where did you come from? You just appeared in the room. What are you doing here?
I'm from the Power Vinyl Movers Incorporated, and I came because you wanted movers. That's why. Now, where do you want it?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. Look, you go away. I'll call for you later.
Okay, Mac. It's your problem.
Utilizer, huh? Utilizer. Well, I don't know where you came from, but I know what you are. You're a wishing machine. I suppose most people would be shocked if a wishing machine suddenly showed up in their room. But not me. Most of my life has been spent wishing, hoping, praying that something marvelous would happen to me. In high school, I dreamed of waking up some morning with an ability to know my homework without having to do it. In the army, I used to wish for some witch to change my orders, put me in charge of the day room instead of forcing me to do close order drill like everyone else. Out of the army, I avoided work. You see, I'm kind of psychologically unsuited for it. I just drifted around hoping some fabulously wealthy person would for some reason change their will and leave me everything. I never really expected anything to happen, but now it did. All right, machine, let's go. I'd like $1,000 in small unmarked bills. There it is. How about that? Fives, tens. They're all dirty. Just perfect. Okay, here's what I'll do. I'll get the machine out of New York. Maybe upstate someplace where I won't be bothered by nosy neighbors. I got a lot of problems on the income tax with this sort of thing. Well, maybe I get organized and I'll go to Central America. Hey, what's happening? There's a hole opening up in the wall. What? Somebody's trying to get through to me. The owner of the machine, he's trying to get it back. That hole's getting bigger. Hey, utilizer! Protect me!
Sanisar Leak, Temporal Wall Protection Service. What can I do for you?
That man coming through the wall. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. He's almost through.
Oh, take it easy now. There's plenty of time. Let me see. Where did I put that unit?
Uh-oh. There's his head.
Wait a minute. You don't understand. Wait.
Well, that takes care of him. Anything else?
Did you kill him?
Of course not. I just veered him back through his glomage. He won't try that way again.
Well, you mean he'll try some other way?
It's possible. He could attempt a micro transfer or even animation. Say, this is your utilizer, isn't it?
Of course. Well, sure it is, of course.
Then you're an A rating?
Naturally. If I wasn't, what'll I be doing with a utilizer?
Oh, no offense. Just being friendly. Well, how you A's get around. I suppose you've come back here to do a history book.
I'm really not permitted to say. You understand, don't you?
Oh, of course. I'll be on my way. One call after another, night and day, night and day. I'd be better off in a quarry. Bye.
There I was alone with the machine, with $1,000 in small bills scattered around the floor. Those A ratings, whoever they were, had it pretty good. Want something, just ask for it. Press the button. Well, the next few days marked a great change in my fortunes. With the aid of the Power Vinyl Movers, I took the utilizer to upstate New York. There I bought a medium-sized mountain in a neglected corner of the Adirondacks. And once the papers were in my hands, I walked to the center of my properties, several miles from the highway, with the men from the moving company sweating behind me, carrying the utilizer. On all sides, as far as I could see, were closely spaced forests of birch and pine. The air was sweet and damp. Birds were chirping merrily in the treetops, and an occasional squirrel darted by. I always loved nature. This would be the perfect spot to build a large, impressive house with swimming pool, tennis courts, and possibly a small airport. So I pushed the button.
Yes, sir. Can I be of service?
I want a house.
Well, yes, sir, but you really must be more specific. Do you want something classic, like a bungalow, ranch, split-level, mansion, castle, or palace? Or primitive, like an igloo or hut? Now, since you're an A, you could have something up to the minute, like a semi-face, an extended new, or a sunken miniature.
Oh, I don't know. What do you suggest?
A small mansion. They usually start with that.
They do?
Oh, yes. Later, they move to a warm climate and build a palace. Shall we start immediately?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Fine. Start immediately. I wanted to ask a couple more questions, but I decided against it. Everything was going too smoothly. These people thought I was an A and the true owner of the utilizer. There wasn't any sense in disenchanting them. The rest of the day, I reclined on a couch and drank iced beverages while the Maxim Ulf Construction Company materialized the equipment and put up my house.
Well, now, there you are, sir. Modest, low-slung affair with 20 rooms. Built only of the best materials from the design of Meg of Degma. Interior by Toig, Mueller Swimming Pool, and formal gardens by Varium. It's really the latest thing. With your permission, we'll include a complete layout on it in Galactic House and Gardens.
Mm-hmm. By evening, it was completed, and the small army of workmen packed up their equipment and then vanished. I allowed my chef to prepare a light supper for me, and afterwards, I sat in my cool living room to think the whole thing over. In front of me, humming gently, sat the utilizer. I ordered cigars. Ah, Havana. I wonder what's behind it all. Of course, it can't be supernatural. There are no demons or devils in this. My house was built by regular, ordinary human beings. They swore and laughed and cursed like human beings. The utilizer was simply a scientific gadget, which worked on principles that I didn't understand or care to understand. Could it have come from another planet? Not likely. They wouldn't have learned English just for me. And so I decided that the utilizer must have come from the Earth's future. But how? Well, accidents will happen. Why couldn't the utilizer have just slipped back into the past and ended up in my room? What a wonderful future it must be. Wishing machines. How marvelously civilized. All a person has to do is think of something, presto, and there it is. Of course, I had to watch my step. There was still the owner and the rest of the A's. They'd probably try to take the machine away from me. A sudden movement caught my eye. I looked up. The utilizer was quivering. As I walked towards it, a faint mist of steam came out of it. Must be overheating. Maybe a bucket of water. Then I noticed it was becoming smaller. It was no more than 2 feet square and shrinking before my eyes. The owner, perhaps the A's, are causing a micro-transfer that Leek had talked about. I had to do something quickly. I pushed the button. Leek Protection Service!
Well, now look here. I was on my way to the golf course. Must I be disturbed every
time? Do something. Look at it. It's shrinking. It's getting smaller. It's getting hot. Do something.
Well, there's nothing I can do. Temporal wall is all I'm licensed for. You want the micro-control people. Bye.
Wait a minute. Come back. It's getting hot. It's getting smaller. I'll press the button again. Micro control.
With whom do you wish to make an appointment?
Get me help, fast. Look, the utilizer is growing smaller. They're micro transferring it.
Well, Mr. Vergnan is out to lunch. He's dezoned himself. I can't reach him.
Well, who can you reach?
Well, Mr. Vierce is in the Deke Continuum, and Mr. Elgis is doing field work in Paleontic Europe. If you're really in a rush, maybe transfer point control. They're a smaller unit.
All right. Transfer point control. Ow! That button's hot. I gotta push it. Gotta push that button. Transfer point control.
Well, what can I do for you? Just a minute. I'll take care of that. There you are. Got just in time, didn't I? Ain't fancy, but we're all reliable.
My hand, my finger, it's burned. Can you do something?
Who, me? Nope, not my department. Do one thing, do it well, I always say. Bye.
My finger, it's burned. Push the button again. Now fix me up. Fix my finger. Ah, that's better. Much better. The owner of the utilizer didn't try anything for at least a week. But I found that my mansion in the woods had been the wrong thing to do. I had to hire a platoon of guards to keep away sightseers, and hunters insisted on camping in my formal gardens. Also, the Bureau of Internal Revenue began to take a lively interest in my affairs. And so, with the aid of the Power Vinyl Movers and the Maxima Ulf Construction Company and the Jankston Instantaneous Travel Bureau, and a good deal of money placed in the proper hands, I moved to a small Central American republic. And there, since the climate was warmer and the income tax non-existent, I built a large, airy, ostentatious palace. It came equipped with the usual accessories: horses, dogs, peacocks, servants, musicians, bevies of dancing girls, and everything a palace should have. I spent 2 weeks just exploring the place. One morning, I went up to the utilizer with the vague intention of asking for a sports car, or perhaps a small herd of pedigreed cattle. But as I bent over the gray machine and reached for the red button... Hey, where are you going? Hey, you can't move. You weigh a ton. Hold still so I can push the button. Hey, come back here. It's animation, that's what it is. Hey, come back here. I gotta push the button and get some kind of help.
Hey, that machine, stop!
Back into the corner. There we go. There we are. Careful, can't let it get through the door. One side, a little dodge. Now, animation control. Wow, that was close. I can't take any more chances. I better do some big wishing now while I still have the chance. All right, pay attention here, machine. I'll have $5 million, three functioning oil wells, a motion picture studio, perfect health, 25 more dancing girls, immortality, a sports car, and a herd of pedigreed cattle. What is it? What happened? The utilizer. It's gone. Where is it? Wait a minute. What happened to me? I'm gone, too. Where am I?
Oh, it's perfectly all right, sir. You can open your eyes now.
Where am I? What happened? I was in my room. Where am I now? Where's the utilizer?
Oh, it's been returned to stock.
Wait a minute. You're the one that tried to come through the wall. You're the owner.
Won't you have a chair?
Well, I guess it's all over, isn't it? The A's finally caught me. Well, it was glorious while it lasted.
Cigarette?
No. Well, you got your machine back now. What else do you want?
My machine? Well, it's not my machine, sir. Not at all.
Oh, don't try to kid me, mister. You A ratings want to protect your monopoly, don't you?
My name is Flynn. I'm an agent for the Citizens Protective Union, a non-profit organization whose aim is to protect individuals such as yourself from errors of judgment.
You mean you're not one of the A's?
Well, you're laboring under a misapprehension, sir. The A rating does not represent a social group, as you seem to believe.
You mean it's not an aristocracy, a hereditary...
Oh, goodness, no. An A rating is merely a credit rating.
A what?
A credit rating. Well, now, you haven't got much time, so I'll make this as brief as possible here. You're quite correct, sir, that this is the future, as you put it. Ours is a decentralized age, sir. Our businesses, industries, and services are scattered throughout an appreciable portion of space and time. Now, the utilization corporation that produces the utilizer is an essential link. It provides for the transfer of goods and services from point to point. Do you understand?
Well, yeah. I get it.
Well, credit, of course, is an automatic privilege. But eventually, well, everything must be paid for.
Paid for? Hey, nobody said anything about paying. What are you talking about?
Well, now, of course, you certainly couldn't have expected to be provided with all these services without pay.
Well, then why didn't somebody stop me? They must have known I didn't have a proper rating.
Oh, credit ratings are suggestions, not laws. In a civilized world, an individual has the right to his own decision. I'm very sorry, sir. Now, would you care to look at this bill and tell me whether it's in order?
Bill? What bill?
For all the services that you ordered from the utilizer. There they are. There's one palace with accessories, credit 450 million. Services Maxima Ulf Movers, 111,000 credits. 122 dancing girls, 1,222,000. Perfect Health, 8,882,422. Well, there's a whole list of them here. The total comes to slightly less than 18 million credits.
Hey, wait a minute. I can't be held to this. The utilizer just dropped into my room by accident.
Well, that's the very fact I'm going to bring to their attention.
What's going to happen to me?
Oh, it's already happened. You've been adjudged through bankruptcy court. Good luck. Goodbye.
What? Where am I? What happened? Where is this place?
All right, buddy, on your feet.
Who are you?
On your feet, Mac. Here, take this.
What is it?
It's a pick. And over there is a quarry where you and I and a couple of others are going to cut marble.
Marble?
Sure. There's always some idiot who wants a palace. You better get working now, boy. I'll hand you a touch of that electronic whip.
What do you mean?
You'll find out. You can call me Jang. We'll be together for some time.
How long?
You work it out. The rate is 50 credits a month until your debt is paid off.
They can't do this to me. It's all a mistake. It was their fault they left the machine. They let it slip into the past. It's all a mistake.
It's no mistake. They're short of labor. They don't want to go recruiting all over for it. Come on. After the first 1,000 years, you won't mind it.
The first 1,000 years. I won't live that long.
Sure you will. You got immortality, didn't you?
Oh, that's right. That's right, I wished for it just before they took back the machine.
Sure you did.
Hey, wait a minute. That bill that Flynn showed me, I didn't see immortality on that bill. How much did they charge me for immortality?
Oh, don't be naive, pal. You should have figured it out by now. Naturally, they give that away for nothing. Now grab your pick. Let's go.
You have just heard X-1 presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features Founding Father by Clifford D. Simak. Tonight, X-1 has brought you Something for Nothing, a story from the pages of Galaxy written by Robert Sheckley and adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in our cast were Joseph Julian as Joe, with Danny Occo, Jock McGregor, John Gibson, Wendell Holmes, Ralph Bell, and Karen Ford. Fred Collins speaking. X-1 was directed by Daniel Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production.
X-1 on Tuned 2 yesterday from April 10th, 1957 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of sci-fi on Tuned 2 Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.